It's time now for Inside the Huddle on WILO, hosted by Ken Hartman. This program will focus on area schools and all the sports they have to offer. Ken will speak with coaches and players across the region. Your participation is encouraged. Call now at 659-3338 to discuss local or statewide sports. Inside the Huddle is brought to you by Tony Theofanis, State Farm Insurance, and Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Now here's your host, Ken Hartman.
Good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. On this week's show, we're going to keep following the coronavirus situation, and our guest is here in the studio at 9 o'clock. We'll be talking to our on-air personality, Don Stock. Then at 9:30, we're going to have Associate Missouri Valley Conference Commissioner Patty Viverito on. And at 9:45, we're going to have Drexel University Clinical Professor and Forbes Contributing Writer Karen Weaver on to talk about those things. So we already have our guests in here, and we say good morning to Mr. Don Stock. Don, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How about you, Ken?
I'm doing fine. Surprise.
I figured that you've run out of people to talk with, so you've asked me to come back in to try to...
No, we really haven't. What happened is I had somebody in my mind that I sent out an email Tuesday, and they didn't respond. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to,
call in the backup.
That person calls me Friday, or texts or emails me Friday morning and says, can I get on this week's show? No, how about next week?
Well, you can bump me anytime when somebody bigger than comes along, and that would be about anybody.
Well, no, the reason I like to have you on is because you have a tremendous interest in sports, not only high school but college and pro as well. And you've been around the area for so long, we got to have a local guest on again. So that's another reason why. I mean, I had Colton on last week, but we need to have a few more local guests on. So that's why I brought you back on. Big thing off the top, I guess. Where do you think we're sitting with sports, or are we?
And that's a great question because of all the inconsistency that goes on in this virus process. I don't think anybody knows what tomorrow's going to bring. And in all reality, even before the coronavirus got here, my feeling is that, nobody really knew. I mean, you always had a tremendous amount of flu that came through, and the coronavirus is more than a flu. I mean, it's a deadly issue. There's no doubt about that. But, I think that because of the inconsistency that we get from all of our leadership, from doctors to the president, that it becomes who knows what tomorrow is going to bring.
After the start of this society, it's kind of like the first thing he's heard it was a respiratory disease that could be fatal. But then they go, now it's ever changing disease, and nobody really knows what it is. It can do this, it can do that. Now it can't do that, it can do this. Yeah. So, I mean, and the thing of it is, what has bothered me all along is that they have never been able to say exactly what this is, which has been, it's still a day one. And they've never been able to give you anything to help you through. Like, when you have a cold or the flu, you can come up with something off the shelves, for crying out loud, to at least help you get through and help you at least live your life a little better than what it's been. But they haven't been able to do that either.
Yeah, I just say that it's kind of a screwed up mess right now, and a lot of it is just, I don't think anybody knows. Maybe that's what the challenge is. But we hope that high schools get together. I was talking to my son-in-law last night. He's one of the vice principals at Pike, and they're starting to get themselves finished up this year. Their seniors are traveling through in their cars to pick up their diplomas, and the rest of the students are coming in to clear out their lockers so they can start getting ready for the following year. He kind of was telling me that he's originally from Ohio, that Ohio is looking to potentially kind of run backwards in a little bit, and that is they're thinking about running baseball, their spring season, baseball track in the fall, mm-hmm. and then their fall season in the spring to give it a little more time, because after all, football is their mecca over there. Yeah. I mean, it's all about football. So they want to be able to play the game, and so figuring that if they can stretch this out even longer, they may be able to get their high school football season in towards the spring of next year. So I don't know. I like the schedule you've got put together for this coming year. It comes out with a bang. It's all county rivalries the first 2 weeks. I really like that a lot.
Well, just so everybody knows, it's a proposed schedule.
Yeah,
right?
It's proposed.
It's not set in stone yet.
We just don't know.
Yeah, that's right. But the thing of it is, what bothers me the most, I think, is that, okay, they say it's a contact disease. Well, last time I checked, football is much of a contact sport.
it should be.
And basketball kind of is the same way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And those are your two biggest money makers.
Yeah.
From the associations, you know, high school associations, the college level, and the school level. Those are your big money makers. So how in the world do you protect kids, you know, in that situation?
Well, that's a great question. I know you look at probably the college and the pro sports are more capable of doing that, because in college you can put everybody in a dorm and seal them all up and only let them come to and from where they need to get to. Pro sports have the finances to do that. I mean, high school doesn't do that. I mean, I think high school is trying to figure out how they're even going to run their classes mm-hmm. with the number of kids that can only be in a room at a time. So I think that more than likely, college and pro sports are going to pick up and continue on, but the high school sports is in danger. I think they're in danger.
And the thing of it is, after not having a postseason basketball tournament last year, and not having a spring sports schedule, and if football happens to go by the boards, you know, there's already I know these associations, because I've had those people tell me, they're anywhere from $1 million to $2-3 million already in the hole before this season even starts. You know, and they depend a lot on gate receipts, just like the schools do. And if that doesn't happen, who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, make sure that what I'm saying is a right here. And I believe that in high school, the budgets do not include athletics. They're on their own. They have to supply their own funding.
I believe you're right.
And so if there isn't any money coming in the gates or advertising, or then it's a challenge to get it started back up and keep your equipment updated, and it's a tough challenge.
You know, and the thing of it is that, you know, and people don't understand that, you know, say, well, why do you have to have so many sports? Well, in this case, football is the bell cow, because, you know, it's the one that funds a lot of academic programs. Basketball does the same. And if you don't have those two, and you know, whether the rest of them are there or not, you know, individual sports, sorry guys, it just doesn't bring any fans in. It just doesn't do it.
Right. You're right. You're relying on football and basketball to carry you through most of the way. That's your big money's made.
Right.
And when they're not there, then your smaller sports start to suffer a little bit, because there's no money to fund their necessary. So, of course, things have changed so much. You know, when I was in school, you know, we didn't pay for anything, and we didn't pay for nothing. I mean, the basketball players got free gym shoes, and it actually came twice a year, at least at Frankfurt it did, and you didn't pay to play, and as you do now. And those numbers are going to go up if they don't get some type of a funding mechanism put together.
You know, and I said, most people don't understand that, but, you know, that this is why. I mean, football and basketball are the ones that basically not only take care of the athletic side of things, they take care of a lot of the academic side of things.
I guess I never thought about that. Are you talking about in scholarships, or
I'm talking about an ability to go ahead and help fund other classes that are electives, I should say, more mm-hmm. so than anything else. Because if they're wealthy, want to go ahead and help fund this, they can. But you know, other things, that there's just no way they're going to be able to do it.
Yeah, you just got to hope that everything's going to get put in place. The school systems will figure out a way to get everybody back into school. May not be the same, and you know what? I hate that word. May not be the same. Those words. I want
normalcy.
It to be the same.
Normalcy.
Yeah, I want it to be the same, and. And if that occurs, then do they have to start changing the process of you know, you being in school and how many days and how, all the things that require you to be an athlete at a school. Of course, you know what? The other thing that I have a difficult time with, Kim, to get away from the virus a little bit, is driving down into, like, I always use Michigan Town as an example, driving through Michigan Town, and you'll see a sign that says, I have a senior graduating from Clinton Prairie, or I have a senior graduating from Frankfort or Rossville, and they all live in Michigan Town, and you're scratching your head going, man, how can that be? But
right. We
all know how that can be. So that becomes a challenge, too, because kids now, and don't make a difference if you believe it or not, but they move to a school where they think the athletics are better if they have a good athlete. So.
That's right. And the big thing that's going to have to be taken care of this fall is, you know, how are you going to set up your classrooms? How are you going to get kids there? You know, busing is going to be, you know, I don't know if you've heard Jim Hanna several times. You know, Jim's been very, you know, he sees pictures that might get 10, 11, 12 kids to a bus per route. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Especially when 60% of your kids are bused in. You just can't happen.
Then buses will be going all day.
That's right. And you won't be able to find enough drivers. Like, I didn't sign up for this. But, you know, I just want to know, if social distancing is such a big issue, how in the world are they going to be able to keep kids apart during school, especially your younger kids? The high school kids probably could go ahead and do it if they wanted to. But, you know, your younger kids aren't going to know any better.
No.
And you're just not going to be able to do this. So where is the answer? Where does all this lie, I guess, is the question.
I don't know. I think it goes back to the very beginning statement when we all both said that, you know, until there's consistency in what's being said, it's going to be difficult to find an answer to anything that we're talking about.
You know, and here's the other thing. You know, there are, of course, and I'm going to from a parent's standpoint only this time, you know, parents would love to have the most parents want to have their kids get scholarships because it helps pay the way to college. Okay, how many parents are going to start putting their foot down and say, no, my son or daughter is not going to play athletics when we don't know if it's safe or not?
Well, I think you'll see a lot of that happening, and you know, to throw football into the mix, I'm surprised that a lot of mothers are saying, no, you're not going to play football because we're not going to go through all of the concussion situations that might occur in football, so because moms play a big role in those issues, so you throw the coronavirus in, saying, you know, you're not going to play athletics because I'm not taking the opportunity of you hitting somebody or coming in contact with somebody and bringing it home.
You know, and the other thing of it is, okay, you know, everybody says masks are probably the best thing we've got as a defense. Okay, well, that's fine, I can live with that. The thing of it is, though, okay, if you're an athlete, you're playing football, and you're especially in the offensive and defensive lines, can they stand to wear a mask?
Well, not breathe very well. But you know, I got to tell you, Ken, I got to thinking while we were talking about, you know, basketball being a contact sport. But you know, I think of the hot dog offense, which was all based on the outside of the arch, and very seldom going inside. So maybe there's a way. Maybe there'll be rules that say that that you got to stay outside the arc and move the ball around. And maybe there's a possibility you can sneak somebody in. But man, don't be touching anybody as you go through. And
hey, and you wonder, from an official standpoint, gee, what do I call? What don't I call this year? I mean,
how we
coronavirus foul 15 years? No, I'm just kidding.
3 seconds. 3 seconds right here.
We need to take a break right now. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent, Susan Casper and Tony Theopanis.
One of those subjects that make people want to change the subject, rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on, by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house insurance, or life without having to give up college insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on with your family. Call State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort at 765-659-5678 and put the life back in life insurance.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it, right at your fingertips. We have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representative. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
WILO wants to hear from you. Let us know your opinion by sending us an email. We now have a sound-off page at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Just go to the community page and click on Sound Off to submit your opinion. We've made it easy for you to sound off on the local issues important to you. You can also submit by emailing your opinion to newsroom@casperradio.com. Let us know what's on your mind. One more way we're keeping you connected. WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Rich is just a really, really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich? No. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You know, somehow that song right there probably kind of epitomizes where we are, born to be alive. Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I'm your host, Ken Hartman, and in the studio with me is Don Stock. Don, we're talking about sports in general. We haven't touched on too much on the pro sports as of yet, but I know baseball being one of your faves. I don't know if they're going to play or not. They're the ones that look like they may not play.
Yeah, I think you'll find out that, at least my belief now, is that greed is taking over. We talked a little bit before we went on the air, the fact that you have all these professionals who say, man, we've got the best fans in the world. We play for our fans. Well, they do until it's time to play, and then there's money talk, and then we're not concerned about the fans. We're concerned about making sure that I get my $1.5 million a game. That's the most important thing. And so all the fans go out the window. It's the greed process. And man, you would thought that they had learned their lesson when they went on strike and the fans left in groves in baseball, that they're potentially getting ready to do the same thing again.
And no matter how this is perceived and how it's drawn up, the players are the ones that are going to be, their fingers will get pointed at them.
Yep,
because
it will be. Yep,
you know,
it will be.
No matter if it's completely the owner saying we're going to lock the doors, the owners can still basically do what they want.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it'll all fall back on the players. And I mean, you have managers of the agents for the ball players saying, "Man, stay out, stay loyal to what you signed to begin with. Don't buckle down." It's like everybody thinks that the owner shouldn't be making a nickel on this. It all should be given out and into players and people who work at the ballpark, and the owner's got to make money somehow. Now, trust me, they're not going broke on the issue.
That's not it.
And are they making more than they should? Well, this is a democratic world. I mean, it's you know, the best goes to the people who work the hardest, and those people are forking out a lot of money to to have us be able to watch a game of baseball, and they deserve to make money as much as what the athletes are making too. So,
you know, and the other thing of it is that, you know, when we harken back to, you know, salaries, and then, you know, our players worth X amount per game. I mean, I was watching, I don't know if you had a chance to watch it last night, and I would encourage if you had a chance to do it. ESPN had their E60 thing with Roy Halladay on last night.
Oh, I did.
Very, very well done. And very eye-opening because, you know, here's a guy who wound up getting killed in a plane crash when he was had his own plane. He had three planes. You know, here's a 40-year-old guy who's, you know, having a lot of health issues and doing drugs on the side. And got planes. He's out flying on it, and this thing, he crashes into shallow water in Florida. But it was, you know, talks about where they started from and where they went, where he got to, and then the end of it. You know, people don't really, you know, I mean, I can understand when people get upset, you know, when they all the salaries. But then again, if they don't have the proper, you know, money management skills, that's gone within three or 4 years after you retire.
Yeah, you're right. They, you know, it's a Lou Tice thought process, which is you're always going to go back to where you feel the safest. And if all of a sudden you have all this money and you don't know what to do with it, you're going to burn through it to get you back to where your normality is. So,
you know, and the other thing of it is that we talk about this all the time. How in the world can you, if you win the lottery, and as much as these pools have been, how can you burn through that kind of money if you have any common sense at all?
Man, you just give it all away. You're right. I mean, you got to have some type of a money process or a mindset on what you're going to do with it. Or, yeah, you're going to get rid of it because you're going to buy all the little what you think are objects that's going to make your life so much better, and all it does is make it so much worse because everybody now who you didn't think were your fans or your
friends.
Are going to be your fans and friends.
They're coming out of the woodwork. Like, hey, don't you remember? I did this for you way back about 30 years ago. Like, don't remember that.
When we were in elementary school. And
NFL, I see, they have tabled the onside kick alternative proposal for a second straight year. And I never really understood this rule until I see exactly what I got right in front of him. It's so weird. They're trying to eliminate the kickoffs in the NFL, and it's kind of in football in general. But I'm looking here. It says if it passed, the rule would have given teams two opportunities per game to replace a kickoff with one offensive down from their 25-yard line following a score. The offensive team gained at least 15 yards and would retain possession. If not, the other team would get the ball at the spot where the play was blown dead. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I don't either. Now, I did like how the XFL, I really enjoyed how their kickoff went, and that is that what the other team was like 10 yards away from the receiver, and they couldn't move at all until the ball was touched by the receiving team, and then it was game on. But it keeps that guy from running down and getting full speed and then just drilling people that caused the issues. So that seemed to be a little fun to watch.
Yeah. I just, you know, to me, I kind of like what the Canadian Football League does, and I've watched enough CFL that I kind of know what's going on. And, you know, it's kind of fun to kind of watch because, first of all, there has to be a yard separation between the offensive and defensive lines to start with. You got a much wider field. You got a 25-yard end zone. And it's three downs. I'm not super crazy about the three downs thing, but I understand why they do it. And then, you know, the problem is all kicks are in play because if you don't return a kick or you have a missed field goal, if they don't return it or they just let it go, you get a point. So, but what I'm saying that you can't get with, but also the receivers have a 5-yard barrier to catch the football and do what they want. So, you know.
So when you say that you have to return a kick, so is that including like field goal attempts?
Yes.
So if it goes out of bounds, you just retrieve it and take off with it?
No. If it goes out of bounds, it's dead.
I see.
But I'm just saying, any missed field goal.
That it comes short, you're putting a guy back because it's 25 feet or 25 yards wide.
Right. Or else if it's wide left, wide right, and you've got room to run because you have to have that 5-yard buffer. So they get the opportunity to return it, and if they don't, or if they just go ahead and give them the point, you know.
Man, I tell you, with a wider field, that would be interesting to watch because, man, you could really move yourself out there and stretch the defense out.
Yeah. I mean, when here's the other thing, and I've seen this happen. It's really weird when it happens. The goalposts are still on the goal line, and they were trying to throw a pass pattern like about the inside the five, like about there, maybe even inside the three. The pass hits the crossbar and it goes everywhere. So I mean, it's a little bit different situation, but it's kind of fun to watch because it's something that's unique and different. And I really believe that since the CFL has canceled its season this year, I would not be surprised because I knew several years ago Buffalo wanted to go ahead and start maybe moving its franchise to Toronto. I would not be surprised. There's about four CFL teams that would probably be good NFL sites, and I would not be surprised if that happens, that the CFL gets absorbed and the NFL kind of takes it over. And because there's, you got Toronto, you got Montreal, you got British Columbia, and you can take Edmonton or Calgary, probably Edmonton because they got the big stadium out there. But the problem is in Edmonton, the weather gets bad early though.
Yeah.
So.
That's football, though. They play in about everything.
You know, but that was one of the things I'd seen in one of the stories that, okay, we'll say you push football back. You know how Midwestern winter weather can be. You want to see, would you like to be spent out there playing about a foot of snow?
Well, you talk about pushing back. Let's talk about baseball now, talking about if they do play, getting into November and December for a playoff game. So you got potentially football going on and basketball and hockey and everything being played at the same time. But, once again, what about the fans? Because let's just say you get a Midwest team or a Minnesota that maybe gets into the World Series but never plays the World Series games at home. What about those fans? What are their opportunities?
And the other thing of it is that I can see where postseason for a lot of these sports is going to be at neutral sites. Going to have to be.
You're right, because now you're into November, and in Chicago, if either the White Sox or the Cubs should happen to make it, there's no way. I mean, it's going to be in the 30s and 20s and 10s by that time, teens. And
that'll be a heat wave with the wind coming off the lake.
One more thing I'll talk about, sure. Being a season ticket holder for the Cubs, we talked off the air a little bit about the Cubs had a virtual for the season ticket holders where they answered a lot of questions. So I sent in a question of, hey, if they play a baseball game and they don't allow the fans to get in, and I can't sell my ticket or use my ticket, do I get my money back? Well, I never got my answer. Nobody ever answered that question. I don't know, maybe they didn't find it or maybe they buried it. But that's my biggest concern that I have right now. Not allowing the fans in, do I lose my ticket and not get my funding back even though I don't get a go? So.
And then also, I'll even take that one step further. Have they told you that if there's no year this year, do the season ticket holders still get to be in line or do you have to get into another batch, be able to purchase tickets?
The Cubs did answer that question. One, they did say that there'll not be an increase in costs next year for season tickets, but everything would pretty much stay the same. So if that's the case, if they don't play any game, then all the money that is sitting in my Cub account that I I never get to see unless I decide not to be a season ticket holder would lay in, and my cost should be at zero next year to start the season.
Okay. Don, I really appreciate your time. It's been a lot of fun. It's always fun just kicking around stuff and just talking. And hopefully, we're going to have seasons this year.
Yeah, I sure hope so, because it'll be dull without it. That's for darn sure.
That's right. Don, thanks much. Greatly appreciate you. Take care. And
yep, thanks for having me.
Stay safe. All right, no problem. We're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis.